Friday, everybody. This is Ray, Tall Rayside.
Man, and this is Tay. It ain't no question. I want and need some sports. Eric Taylor, man, hyped up for, it's more than just a football Friday. It's a college football Friday. It's a World Series Friday. It's a the last Friday before the NBA season starts. I'm just hyped up, man. So, listen, you want to join the show and get with us, you know, 718-664-9098. You can call in and listen, call in and talk. You know, we're going to get to some email questions today because people have been emailing us, so we thank you. On the email, Twitter, and Facebook, it is Ray, RAEANDTAYTODAY, Ray and Tay Today, and the email is @gmail.com. So check that out. And, man, we're working hard to get the website coming up soon, so you look out for RayandTayToday.com, you know, in the works. But, Ray, man, just, yo, it's Friday, man. Let them know what we're chewing up to today, man.
Well, first of all, we want all our people on the East Coast to be safe because we got that Superstorm Sandy coming up. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
I have heard about it. But, listen, shout out to Cuba, Jamaica, my family's people down in the Bahamas. It's been causing ruckus, man.
Yeah, Hurricane Sandy tearing up the Caribbean, and then it looked like it's going to come up the East Coast and make
landfall. Is it supposed to hit you guys Halloween?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are looks like the critical days.
Wow.
So, yeah, so a lot of wind, a lot of rain. They're expecting $1 billion of damage in New Jersey. So we'll see. You know, with these things, the computer models predict only so much. Then you just got to let nature take its course. You don't know exactly where it's going to happen. But anyway, so all you guys, be safe. Go out there. Be prepared. Get your water. Get your food. Get your cash. Get your rations. And, you know. Listen,
if you're home on Monday, the best thing is Monday night, 7 to 8:30, to listen to Ray and Tay Today. We have our special
NBA
preview. And we're gonna have a special guest, Anthony Donahue, come on Monday night from Knicks Blog Talk, .com. So Anthony's big with the Knicks, and you can go check him tonight over there at Walt Clyde Frazier's restaurant, Frazier's place, and Larry Johnson's gonna be there. So, you know.
Grandmama?
Yeah, Grandmama, man, who, you know, I've interviewed before. And, yo, before we even break down the show, man, I got to give a special shout-out to Charles Barkley. Yo, tell you how Scottsdale is on and popping. My wife, man, she's the best. So she, you know, she bumped into Charles Barkley outside of Target on his way to Home Depot. And so we might, you never know, we might be able to pull Charles Barkley to come on Ray and Tay Today. So that would be great, man. But, Ray, let him know what we're doing today, man.
The Chexter, the round mound, the rebound. We got some breaking news here. We'll talk about last night's Thursday night football game that Ray predicted. We got several college top 25 battles that are very good as we come down the home stretch, getting ready for the bowls, the championship, the league championship series, the conference championship series, and the bowls. Then we've got week 8 in the NFL. We've got 4 outstanding matchups this week. And then we've got our top 5 Friday segment, top names in sports history. So marinate on that. Think about your top
name. Any athlete, any sport with something unique.
Exactly.
Unique name, not just
something
like, you
unique.
Know.
Something unique.
Not
and
just Jim Brown.
We'll do a quick recap of where we are in the World Series with with San Francisco Giants up 2-0. So let's start it off with some news. Tay, what do you got?
Well, I guess the news of yesterday was, you know, shout out to the NBA and David Stern, the commissioner, is going to step down as of February 1st, 2014. That will make 30 years on the job. Adam Silver, the deputy commissioner, will take over. And I guess it's, you know, just a moment to just shout out Commissioner Stern and pay homage to all that he's done. Obviously, salaries have increased since 84 when he came in from $250,000 to $5 million. He, you know, went from 23 to 30 teams in expansion, you know, globalization, 92 Olympics, yada, yada, yada. I mean, what do you feel about Stern and his legacy? And remember, we did our top 5 commissioners, and I think both of us, or definitely for me, he was my number 1 commissioner. of all sports.
Yeah, I gave it to the football guys, actually.
You gave it to Pete Rozelle, I think, right?
Yeah, just because football is a
juggernaut. Yeah, no doubt. But I think he has burn number two. But what do you feel about his legacy and what he's done?
Look, he appears to be a highly controlling individual, which
can be good and can be bad.
So there are definitely
negatives.
He's not, you know, he's not beloved by everybody, but I've got to say, all in all, the NBA is better off the past 30 years for having David Stern at the helm. I mean, he took over an NBA in 1984 that had a lot of issues with fighting and drugs, and they barely, you know, as late as 82, I believe, the 82 finals with the Sixers and the Lakers was still on tape delay. So he really got the TV contract. So the biggest thing
Sixers
for him,
Lakers, they showed that one because I remember watching.
So maybe that was the first one. So maybe the 81.
You know, when Magic played center.
Magic played center. That was 80.
Yeah. Okay. And, so 80. I remember watching 80 when Magic played center.
No, but these
center.
Were still on tape delay for sure. These were on, some of the later ones were on tape delay. Maybe.
Maybe that final, because
yeah,
I remember watching that one.
But I think 82 was the critical year where it went. Anyway, but that's still under Larry O'Brien. But my point is that he really took basketball, did two things. A, cleaned it up. B, several things, I should say. A, he cleaned it up. B, he got the big TV money. C, he individually promoted players or helped. And the NBA is great at that. Football and other sports don't do as good a job of individually promoting stars. Now, it was helpful that Larry Bird and Magic were coming into their own, and then Jordan comes into the league, and Ewing and Olajuwon and all these guys.
Yeah, and it's always about the players. I mean, we don't want to give Stern too much credit.
Of course,
let's keep it
of
real.
Course, but
and Nike, Phil Knight, Nike also. Nike's a big part of it.
True. And the other thing that he gets a lot of credit for is the internationalization of the game.
Definitely.
He really insisted on TV rights and expanding and merchandising and having NBA teams tour, and of course the 1992 Dream Team didn't hurt, but the
point is, NBA.com and NBA TV, you know.
Yeah, and so David Stern's big push, one of his big pushes was international, and look at the international flavor and the international talent that's in the NBA, and in no short by no small order, that is a result of David Stern's push as commissioner to internationalize, globalize the game. So people said he ruled with a strong fist. People said he was very detail-oriented and controlling. All that may be true, but again, great job. I don't want to say the ends justify the means because some people may have been, you know, steamrolled in the process, but David Stern did a great job of getting the NBA where it is and taking a league. He was a great steward for the league, and Adam Silver's got his hands, you know, his hands full. He's got a tough job ahead of him filling David Stern's shoes after 30 years. Now, he has been his deputy commissioner for a while. So,
and he's well-liked and respected, so we'll see.
Yep.
But well, listen, we got to move on, and we'll get into the Thursday. Obviously, you know, just a couple of football notes. I mean, we'll get into the preview, but it looks like, Aaron Hernandez did not make the trip over to London for the quote-unquote Rams home game against the Patriots, so Aaron Hernandez won't be there. And then it's Wednesday in practice. My boy on one of my fantasy teams, Jordy Nelson, looks like they're going to, you know, might be a game-time decision, might not play. So you might want to pick up Donald Driver or, you know, some of these other guys with the Green Bay Packers because Jordy Nelson's hamstring is jacked up and Greg Jennings is having surgery. He'll be out. And, oh, man, these injuries. But the good news, right, get ready to talk NBA. And shout out to everybody in the Ray and Tay Today Sports Radio League. Our fantasy basketball draft is this weekend, Saturday, so we got to get ready for that and let everybody know, you know, what our teams are and stuff. We'll talk about that on Monday as well. But Tyson Chandler, who, you know, hurt his knee in the game, banged it against Gerald Wallace in that Knicks-Nets battle, he's day-to-day. It's just a bone bruise on the knee, a little slight sprain. So
yeah, Knicks are,
that's
Knicks
good.
Happy to hear that.
Speaking of knees and speaking of cats, Ray gets the props. He said Tampa would do it. But who ever thought that young Doug Martin from Boise State of Tampa Bay would, I mean, not like AP had a bad game, right, but totally outshine, put up 103 in the first half, 135 yards rushing, over 200 combined yards, two touchdowns. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ray, they put it on Minnesota. I don't even think Minnesota showed up until I don't even know what if they know what hit them. It was like it was sort of like Tyson against Spinks, you know?
Or 91
like boom, boom, boom,
seconds.
Fight
91
over.
91 seconds. Don't
91
hit them,
seconds. Oh man, I still remember that night. I was going over to Chris Wright's house to watch the fight, and next thing I know, I get there and it's like, yo, you missed it.
And that was when boxing was still on free TV. Could you imagine? You do pay per view and it's 91
yeah.
seconds. I want my money
yeah,
back.
Well, it was ridiculous. You know, shout out to Freeman. Three games in a row for Josh Freeman throwing for over three touchdowns. Pretty impressive. Set a Tampa Bay record with that. And I know you love Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams, man.
Yeah, I do. Vincent Jackson from last week. I told you. Even you know, sometimes the short week is good because you don't think too much. You don't have a complicated game plan. And Tampa put up big numbers.
The week before against New Orleans.
Yeah. So Vincent, the week before, right? Vincent Jackson went for 210, set a Tampa record, and Josh Freeman threw for 400. So they had some good feeling. They had that play at the end that could have tied it, but Vincent Jackson was pushed out of bounds, and
yeah,
the ball wasn't
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, and
yeah.
the ball
it was
wasn't
a rough loss. It was a rough loss.
Right, but offensively, they felt good. They felt good.
Yeah.
They should have put up 35. And I figured on a short week, it's not too complicated. You go in there. Minnesota is good, but I didn't think they were 5-2 good. Now, your record is what, you know, you are what your record is, right? So I give them credit, but I just had a feeling Tampa had some confidence. And this kid, Dougie Fresh, Doug Martin, he's nice. I mean, LeGarrette Blount is a player, and he just got, you know, when everybody from
preseason
was saying that Martin.
He's like, you're my backup. I sun you.
Exactly. So, yeah, this kid, Doug Martin, forget about, you know, fantasy where he put up 41 fantasy points in our league. But in real football, I mean, this guy was the best player on the field. This guy was unbelievable,
yeah.
including
no,
Adrian.
No, definitely so. I think Minnesota.
I'm not saying Adrian Peterson is not the man, but on
AP,
this night.
Listen, AP and Harvin played ball. You know, they come every week. I think the defense was a little asleep. You know, they woke up a little bit at the end, but. You know, after Jared Allen and Penn were in the fight, then they woke up and Jared Allen finally got a sack. But, I just think Ponder, sometimes he makes some bad mistakes and looks almost lost. And then I think Jerome Simpson and Jenkins, you know, they got points at the end, but I don't think that sometimes they get open enough. I don't think that they can get separation from the cornerbacks. So I think Minnesota still, even already at 5-3, I still think they're going to, you know, 8-8, 9-7, you know, I think it will balance out. They got a tough game next week going to Seattle, so, but, you know, that's always, you know, rough, especially as the weather starts to get a little worse. So, hey, look, Tampa does it 36-17, and it was one of them whoopings. So, well, let's take a quick break, and let's jump right into it, man. We've got... I mean, gosh, this is week
Big
nine
week.
In college football. I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? Week 8 in NFL, week 9 in college football, and there's some great college football games. So Ray and I will be back and give you the top games of the week. We'll be right back, Ray and Tay.
Talking college.
And we will make someone happy with our picks and let maybe some of these fans, because listen, this is the week where fans are like, yo, we want to win this game.
Well, it's getting critical.
Man.
People starting to think about bowls, starting to think about conference championships. So let's go right to it. Let's go to the SEC.
Well, yeah.
Where we
number one,
Alabama hosting Mississippi State. So
well,
let me just start by saying
yeah.
that Alabama's favored by 23. So
you
that's
know,
how much
it's almost,
of a gap they think the number 1 and number 11 teams in the country are.
And doesn't that say it all right there? Because Mississippi State is a good team. That's
7-0
Good football team, man. I mean,
listen, I got to tell you, Nick Saban.
Dan Mullen's a good coach, man.
Yeah.
But damn, they're
number
11 in the country.
He might even be a better recruiter. I mean, people just keep coming and coming. Listen, he gets every type of talent. That's what's so incredible to me.
He'll get a running back, right? He gets linemen. He gets defensive guys, linebackers, corners, safeties.
I mean, in terms of recruiting, you know, even some big-time receivers. Bama does it, man. So, well, to me, I'm going to, you know, we'll jump into it. I mean,
I don't think Bama is going to really cover that spread, I'll be honest. But I'll tell you this. I do think Bama will win. I think it's going to be something like 27-17. I think Mississippi State, you know, they pull some stuff out of a hat and play a competitive game, but I think that Bama wins by 10, maybe 13, maybe, you know, 27-14, 27-17, but I think Bama definitely wins the game.
I agree with that. I think that Alabama had this game circled on their calendar as the prep for next week's Alabama-LSU game.
Definitely.
So if there's ever a week to sneak up on Alabama, it would be this week. The problem is Mississippi State is ranked 11th, right? So it's not like they're playing.
Right. And they're not really sneaking nowhere.
Right, exactly. It's not like they're playing a an FBS school or the old 1AA school. So, yeah, I think Alabama wins a game, but I don't think they cover the spread. I mean, you know, maybe they win by 14 or 17. So if I had to put up a score, let's say, I don't know, 30-17, something like that. But yeah, the 23 points to a top 11 team, that's hard to lay. So, yeah, I like Alabama to win, but not in that big of a blowout.
Yeah, well, then we have, and this is the game, right, that we had on Where You At Wednesday, right? We had Tony Rice from Notre Dame.
And the Jamel,
and we had Jamel
Holloway
from OU. Okay, for those that didn't get to hear that episode, you got to go back and check it out because, you know, we were repping hard for you Irish and for you Sooners. And Notre Dame is number 5, and they're going to Norman. They're going to Oklahoma, number 8. This is where we see if Notre Dame is real or if they're kind of like fugazi, you know what I'm saying? So I think Notre Dame is kind of real. I really do, but I just don't think that they can win on the road at Norman. I think what's going to happen is they're going to get to both of those quarterbacks. I don't think that they're going to be able to score too much. I've seen a couple of games where Notre Dame's had trouble scoring this year. I think Landry's ready for a big, you know, a big come-out game again. And I think Oklahoma wins 20-17.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I think OU wins a close one.
I think this is the week that Notre Dame gets slapped down. I think that they've been riding their defense, which has done them great for the first – was it 7 games of the season for them. And Manti Te'o and the rest of that defense is actually great. And Brian Kelly, an offensive guy, has put together a great defensive team. Now, with Reese and Golson at quarterback, he's got this, you know, dilemma every week. Who do I play? I think it's the right decision to play Golson. I think that he needs more athleticism on offense. I just feel that this week they're going to have trouble offensively, and Oklahoma will be able to figure out that defense. So I like Oklahoma actually pretty easily. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think Notre Dame gets stuck on maybe 17, and Oklahoma puts up 27. So I like Oklahoma pretty big.
Okay. Well, then next we have Florida-Georgia?
Florida-Georgia, number 2 Florida against number 10
yeah.
Georgia at the
SEC.
Neutral site in Jacksonville.
Definitely. I mean,
what do they call it, world's biggest cocktail party?
Something. I know that they'll be drinking like crazy, you know. Listen, I just want to say real quick, I know we're not going to talk about it per se, but there are some other great games, you know, like Oregon State or whatever. But I'm rooting big for Michigan to go into Nebraska and get that W, man. That's gonna be a good one for us Michigan fans on ESPN2, because Ray and I, we like Michigan. So I definitely want to give a shout out. You know what I'm saying? That's a nighttime game. We'll be checking in on ESPN2 to see Michigan beat Nebraska, man. But you know, I don't think Georgia. I don't believe in Georgia. I don't believe in Murray. I know they've had their different suspensions and injuries. I'm not. Watch him against that Florida defense, and then you tell me how much you really like him.
Yeah, watch anybody against that Florida defense. But by the same token, I don't really love Driscoll. I don't love Florida's quarterback.
Well, listen, he's had some. He's not a big thrower, but he got busy against South Carolina. He showed his butt off, man, and got busy. I think neutral site and all that might help Georgia a bit. I think Florida, I mean, man, I think they're gonna give it to Georgia. You know, it's a 3:30 game. CBS will be glued to it. It's going to be exciting. Jacksonville is, you know, it's a Florida home game, basically, the Gators. I mean, let's not front. I think what's going to happen here is you're going to see something like 24-17 Gators.
Okay.
I actually
like, even though the Bulldogs had a hard time last week with Kentucky, only beating them 29-24, I actually like Murray. I think he's going to have a bounce-back game. Gurley's rushing the ball. I actually like Georgia. I like Georgia in a close game. I think they're going to win 20-17. I like Georgia and Jacksonville. So
you've been hating on
the
Gators this year, man. The Gators keep showing and proving.
They do. They do. And I hope that I don't have to add in my long list of letter-writing campaigns.
I think you're going to have
Will
to send
Muschamp.
A letter.
Dear William.
I wrote a letter to the government the other day.
They opened and read it.
They read it.
That
they were suckers.
Suckers, yeah. Let's say I wrote Dear Will, I can't fill it out yet. Dear William Muschamp, I can't fill it out yet.
All right. So you got
Georgia.
We'll see. All right, and then in the other of the four major games, we have K-State.
Your boyfriend, Colin Klein.
Listen, Colin Klein is a friend of mine, right? And number three, going up against number 14, Texas Tech. Ooh, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of those games. It's on Fox. It's in Manhattan, Kansas.
Does that mean our boy Gus Johnson is going to do the game?
Yeah, we get to hear our man Gus Johnson. Yeah, you know I'm hyped to hear Gus. All right, Gus is our man. So we shout out Gus Johnson. I think Texas Tech is going to keep it exciting. They're an exciting team. But Kansas State, man, this team, it's a focus, right? But I think it's a destiny. There's something special about this team, and I think you see it the way they play. They keep moving up in the rankings, you know, jumped Oregon. I think, boy, Florida better win, because if not, K-State's going to be number two in the nation, which could be crazy, right?
Wow.
But I think Kansas State at home, they do enough to win a pretty high-scoring game. I think it's going to be 30-28, K-State.
Wow. Well, Tommy Tuberville can coach, right? You know, he was a man at Auburn, and now he took his talents to Lubbock. And
a great recruiter. Wherever he goes, he gets
he's
ballers.
He's doing big things, and Texas Tech is 6-1, a little bit below the radar, you know, under the radar screen this year. I think Kansas State loses. But not this week. I think they'll get knocked off, because I can't see them being undefeated. And if they were undefeated, that would throw very interesting monkey wrench into the national championship if they can get through the Big 12 undefeated. But they probably won't. So I don't think K-State loses this week. But I think it's a close game. I think they win something like 23-20. So I like K-State at home. I like Klein. I don't think he'll have a breakout game like he did last time with 7 touchdowns, but I think that he'll do enough. He'll get you 60, 70 running the ball. He'll get you 175, 200 passing the ball, and he'll do just enough to put up 23, and they'll win the game 23-20.
Yeah. And, it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard for Oregon at number four when you're playing, you know, at home against Colorado. It's hard for them to move up because, you know, the Pac-12 with USC on suspension and other teams, Arizona State, not being as tough as people thought they would be. I guess it's kind of hard for Oregon to really jump up. So if everybody goes status quo, Oregon will probably stay at number four again, you know.
Well, they need a
and
loss.
Could drop to number five if Notre Dame ever beat
Oklahoma. On the road, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
They could.
Right.
So they need
Oregon
some losses.
Could win and be ranked number five.
Which would
so
be
we'll
amazing.
So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. And obviously, you know, Monday we'll you know, before the NBA preview, we'll jump in and analyze these games and talk about the weekend and see. Hey, you know what's so funny, Ray? A shout-out to the ACC, right? And Maryland had a chance last week and lost to NC State to be in first place. But then in the other side of the ACC bracket, Duke. Duke's got a big game because Duke can actually, you know, if they win, they can upset Florida State and then be in first place in the ACC, which would be crazy. I mean, Duke hasn't had I don't know if they've ever had a great football team.
No, Duke was good maybe one year when Steve Spurrier, the last year he was at Duke before he went to Florida. So he sort of resurrected that program and then went to Florida and left them.
Right,
for,
right. But, I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about long,
ACC doormats.
long time ago. I mean, of course, you know, Florida State's not going to really lose to Duke at Tallahassee, but crazier things have happened. So, you know, hey, we'll see what happens, and it's going to be a good weekend. I know all them Irish fans are going to be going crazy for Notre Dame, hoping they can beat Oklahoma, man. That's all I've been hearing everybody talk about is Oklahoma-Notre Dame. So we shall see. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into week 8 in the NFL. Ray and Tay.
All right, we're back to talk NFL, week 8 in the National Football League. So as a public service announcement, let's remind everybody who's on bye this week.
Yeah,
so we got,
are you fantasy football heads?
Exactly. We got Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Houston on bye this week.
The Houston Oilers?
Not those Houston Oilers. The Houston Texans.
Yeah, man. Well, listen,
Speaking of which,
it's not great teams, but obviously there's players and people should know who, you know, who's out and whatever.
Yeah, before we get into our preview, though, we got an email. You know, we said we got a few emails backed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I
got one over here, too.
I want to get to this email because, you know, we want people to feel like we're getting to their calls and their emails. So here we go. We got Rob from Manhattan. So he looks like he's in trouble, Tay, you got to help him out. He said he's got Torrey Smith and Stevie Johnson on bye, which probably is not that bad. But then he goes on to say, now that Greg Jennings is out, he said, I'm hurting for a wide receiver. Please help me with a fantasy wide receiver pickup. So he lost, with Greg Jennings, you probably lost your number one receiver. And for at least for a few weeks, and then I guess Torrey Smith and Stevie Johnson are on bye. So the guy needs a free agent wide receiver. I think he only needs one. I mean, he didn't say, but I'm assuming he only needs one. So
yeah, I don't know.
On the waiver
wire,
who's out there?
Well, right now I would say John Baldwin for Kansas City is probably out there in a lot of leagues. You could take a shot on him. The
Golden
Bills are
Tate
on bye,
might
right?
Be on some leagues, in some leagues, might be available because anybody that was on bye last week sometimes can be hanging out there on the
Hey, maybe you take a shot.
Line?
Maybe you take a shot on one of the Falcons, Harry Douglas. A lot of people don't have him. He's their third receiver, but you know, sometimes in these matchups, right? You know, Nnamdi and their other corner, maybe they're locked up and focusing so much on Julio and Roddy that maybe Douglas could get in the end zone and get you four or five receptions. It's not actually a bad idea. You know, sometimes when you're desperate, you gotta take a guy, and maybe you look for Devon Bess against the Jets. Maybe if he's still available, because people
especially
pick him up
the
and then drop him.
League. Yeah, I have him in our league. So in PPR league.
So.
What do you think about Hankerson in Washington? Now they're going up against Pittsburgh, but with Pierre Garçon down, maybe he gets some more.
Well, he hasn't really been playing the last couple of weeks. So yeah, Hankerson has been picked up in a lot of leagues. But if he's available, or even I guess their other receiver was it Miles Paul, who's the receiver tight end. They've also picked up Chris Cooley. So But, Vincent Brown will be back for San Diego maybe next week, so for a future wide receiver, that's somebody I might pick up.
Yeah, he's coming off the injury, so some people drafted him.
Yeah,
I think
I think he'll be all right. I think you're pretty much covered with those guys. You could take a shot the Detroit Lions, if you can pick up Titus Young or Broles. The wide receiver caught the touchdown at the end.
Yeah, Ryan
Broles
from Oklahoma. Yeah, he's
from
nice.
Oklahoma. I think that's a good pickup. They just signed Brian Robisky, who used to play for the Cleveland Browns, but he won't get going yet. So that's a couple different guys, But Baldwin from KC might be okay,
All
Kansas
right,
City's
thanks,
always
Rob.
Be
we appreciate the email.
Playing from behind. So actually, I have an email. This is Greg from San Jose.
Oh,
San Jose. And he writes, Yo Ray, Yo Tay. I actually don't know who he is, but hey, we appreciate the yos.
Keep it real.
Yo Ray, Yo Tay. He wants to know, should he start Nate Washington or Brandon Lloyd?
Ooh, Nate Fizzle or Brandon Lloyd. Okay, so I have Nate Washington on my team.
And I actually have Brandon Lloyd. So,
other than a few late touchdowns and late catches, he's been a disappointment. Now, I can't say that Brandon Lloyd is putting up all-pro AJ Green
numbers. No, he's disappeared
for
me the last couple of weeks.
I know. Now, the good thing, it's not good when somebody gets hurt, but Aaron Hernandez is not making the trip, right? So that's fewer targets. So,
yeah, but he didn't do much even when – see, this is the problem. Okay, let's look at the matchups, right? I always say matchups are important. The Rams' secondary is tough, okay?
Yeah.
They've got Jenkins, Cortland Finnegan, and Tremaine Johnson. They got three good corners, okay? I think the Colts' secondary, and it's at Tennessee, I think Nate Washington is going to have a big game. Hasselbeck's still quarterback, and he likes Nate. I think, to me, Nate Washington is the start just because the Colts secondary, you could pass on the Colts. And I think it's going to be, that game will be a shootout, like 28-27. Tennessee and the Colts are going to go at it. I think it'll be a lot of scoring, a lot of yards. I think that Rams-Patriots game is going to be a little bit closer than people think. I think the Patriots win, but it might be like 20-10 or 20-13. So I don't think Brandon Lloyd is going to get more than two or three receptions this week. So I'd go with Nate Washington personally.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I'm not mad
shout
at
out
you.
To and thanks, Greg from San Jose for writing us and stuff. So all right, listen, man, people, yo Ray, yo Tay, keep sending us the emails, and we appreciate it. So let's jump into it, right? We've got the Dallas Cowboys hosting the New York Football Giants.
Rematch
of week
one.
But you know what, Ray? I got to say, even though your Cowboys got my Giants week one, these are not the same two teams, okay?
Oh.
There's no DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones, and Tanner. I'm not afraid of either one of them. I think Romo and offensive line is banged up. I don't think Romo and his receivers are in a good rhythm.
you know, Des Bryant's hurt, this one's hurt. I mean, you might need Ogletree to have another repeat performance, right? I mean, to really solidify something. Maybe Witten's a little better off on your defense, but losing Sean Lee, him and Ware are the heart and soul of that Cowboy defense, and I think losing Sean Lee is going to be pretty big, and I believe we'll see that on the field this week. I think the Cowboys are hurting, and I think they're emotionally fragile right now. I think the Giants go to Dallas and grab Jimmy Jones by his necktie, and they just choke him up, and I think the Giants win 24-20.
Yeah, as a Cowboy fan, I hate to say this, but Bruce Carter is not Sean Lee. And even Dan Connor can't really plug the hole that Carter then opens up for him. So I hate to say it, but with the lack of steady offensive production and that mm-hmm. offensive line still question marks, and then DeMarco Murray not being healthy, so having to rely on Felix Jones. Dallas doesn't have enough consistent offensive firepower, because you know the Giants are going to score, right? As good as the Dallas defense can be at times, they're not consistent enough under Ryan. And I think that the loss of Lee and this war of words is doing nobody any good on the Cowboys. So I think the Giants come in there and they take care of business. I hate to say it, but Eli knows how to win in Texas Stadium, right? He opened up the stadium and he did that signature thing, right? He signed his name John Hancock style on the wall. Yeah, so I like the Giants. I like the Giants to put up big numbers. I think they're going to win 31-24. They'll win by 7.
Okay.
I think it'll be a high-scoring game.
And next, we've got a battle. Listen, I got to tell you, shout-out to our boy who's been on our show, the comedian Sean Savoy. We have a bet going, right? So it's only through Monday through Wednesday, but if the Redskins win, as a Steeler fan, right, we're talking about Redskins going to Pittsburgh. The Redskins win, I will have to, on my Facebook page, rock a picture of Sean wearing his Washington Redskins jersey. And if the Steelers win, on his Facebook page Monday through Wednesday, he will have to rock a picture of me wearing my Steelers jersey. So you know, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm going and what I'm picking. I actually think, look, Alfred Morris is a tough back. I think hurting Fred Davis, even though he hasn't had a great season, but Davis being out and Garcon, I think the Redskins' offense, I think it's going to take a little step back. I don't think the Steelers are scared of Hankerson and some of their other receivers, Josh Morgan and Santana Moss. Obviously, the Steelers are still missing Troy Polamalu, but I got a funny feeling that I think the Steelers are kind of heating up. I think they're on a little bit of a roll, and I think this is going to be one of those games where Dick LeBeau and the different schemes and blitzing, you know, more than four or five. I mean, RG3, great stat, right? RG3 is leading the league in passing percentage when teams blitz five players, right? You know, not just a four defensive lineman or a 3-4, you know, like bringing in five players. He's the number one in pass percentage. But I will say this, the Steelers are going to mix it up, and they're going to come from different ways, and sometimes they're going to bring five, six, sometimes, you know, they'll bring three, but you don't know where they're coming from. So I feel that the Steelers and Big Ben is going to light up that Redskins secondary. Oof, goodness. I think the Steelers win 30-26 over the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Go
okay.
Pittsburgh! Steelers Nation!
Yeah, I
got to
agree. I think Pittsburgh is really just going to outclass them in this game. I think this is a week where RG3 doesn't get to run around and doesn't really get to, you know, have his way. Again, Polamalu's out, but I think that and you know, your right tackle, Marcus Gilbert, is out too, but Marquise Pouncey's coming back. So your offensive line is a little bit in flux, but I think Redmond, Mendenhall, and Dwyer, the three of them together, make for a heck of a three-headed monster there in the running game. And then if you give Ben a three-headed monster in the running game, they have to play honest against the run. And then those wide receivers, you know, Brown and Sanders and Wallace and Heath
Miller.
It's
all too much.
Too much. It's too much. Yeah. I think this game isn't even close. I think the Steelers end up pulling away and Gangnam style. And then they go get them, like, I'd say 28-20. I like the Steelers big in this game.
Okay. Well, look, I guess the next game, this is a big one. Coming off the bye week, we have the Atlanta Falcons.
The undefeated
Atlanta Falcons.
That's 6-0.
Going up against the much maligned Philadelphia Eagles and Mike Vick. You know, you could say the key matchup here could be DeSean Jackson and Asante Samuel. For me, I wonder if the Eagles' defense is going to be able to, number one, get to Ryan. Because the one thing I think Ryan's been doing this year, he's not holding on to the ball too long. He's getting rid of it. He's hitting up Julio. He's hitting up White. You know,
Roddy.
I mean, Gonzalez is having a fountain of youth year, okay? I think this game's going to be a shootout. And unfortunately, I don't know if the Eagles are strong enough mentally. Something with this team, with all their talent and everything, I think the Falcons win 30-28 in a close,
wow,
close game. I think they hit a field goal at the end, down one, and I think the Falcons pull off a game that can put the Eagles in a tailspin for the rest of the season,
wow,
maybe.
See, I think everything you said is true. And the thing that I come back to is that the Eagles have a lot of pride. They fired their coach. They know Andy, their offensive coordinator, ex-offensive coordinator who was the defensive coordinator, and then they promoted the secondary coach. Todd Bowles, yeah. So they've got some
interim, who was the interim head coach at the Dolphins last year.
Right, for three games, exactly. So they had 2 full weeks to prepare for this. And even though they're banged up on the offensive line, and even though they've turned the ball over a lot, and even though McCoy's had a subpar season, we know about Vic.
Just like Abraham, he's going to knock that ball out of Vic's hands.
I think Philly had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And maybe they lose next week, but I think they win this week. I think they take care of business at home. Too much pride, too much talent, 2 weeks of preparation. I think they win this game. I think they win something like 24-20.
Now, the great stat about that, right, Andy Reid is undefeated coming out of bye weeks.
Yeah, isn't he something like 14-0 after the bye week?
Something crazy, yeah. So I had every reason to pick Philly. I really did. There was just something in my gut. And it's not to upset our boy Scott Cowboy Killers, who's a big Eagle fan, but I don't know. This Falcon team, I didn't pick it early on, but this Falcon team, they're playing special ball. I'm impressed. I was a non-believer and a hater of the Falcons just because I think that they were choking every year. But this year, this team, there's something different. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be close, though, but I definitely think that the Falcons are going to pull that one out. And then, you know, there's some other great games, but I think we'll jump into the Sunday game. I will say this. I do think the Jets will beat the Dolphins. And I like the Chargers over the Browns in a very crazy high-scoring game.
Really?
You think
the Browns can score?
Yeah, I think Brandon Wheaton, I think he's going to light it up. I think him and Phillip both have over 300. And I think it's like, you know, 30-28. I think the Chargers beat the Browns barely. But let's talk about Sunday night, man. Drew Brees.
The rematch of Super Bowl.
These are the two leading, by yards, the two leading passers in the NFL right now, Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. We've got the rematch from the Super Bowl, right? So Brees,
right,
but he's with, you know, going against Manning on a new team at the Denver Broncos.
Right, Joe.
Now, we could get a weather report.
Back.
All right, because I talked to my mother-in-law. It was like freezing this morning in Colorado, so it's mad cold. So I think it's going to be a factor. I don't know if it's going to snow Sunday night, but it's going to be nippy out there. And for me, I don't think the Saints have enough defense. And I think the Broncos do have just enough to slow down Breeze a little bit. I think the Broncos and the Saints totally put up like over 800 yards combined. It's going to be explosive. They're going to be scoring back and forth. I just think whoever can cause that one turnover, you know, I look for Sproles and McGahee to do well. I mean, maybe Pierre Thomas wakes up. You know, fantasy people, watch out for Joel Dreesen and Brandon Stokley. Jimmy Graham's banged up, but I think he's going to wind up going and playing. They really need him.
Yeah,
they really need him. Look out for Lance Moore. But I got the Broncos, man. I got them winning 38-35.
Wow, you got 73 points in this game.
It's going to be electric Sunday night.
You know, what's interesting is Tracy Porter, the guy that picked off Manning for the touchdown.
Now his teammate.
Yeah, but he's probably not going to play. He's banged up a little bit.
Yeah, Tracy's injured still. So
if he would play, but he's going to sit this one out. See, I think the team that has the ball last will win the game. So I really think that both of these quarterbacks are probably the guys, along with Eli Manning and RG3, are the guys that, and Tom Brady, of course, that you want at the end of a game. And I really believe that it'll be a close game throughout. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Drew Brees gets the ball last, and he proceeds to matriculate the ball down the field. Throughout,
matriculation.
Exactly. Throughout the cold weather, through the Denver Bronco defense, Joe Vitt's first game back as the interim head coach, Jonathan Vilma's getting his groove back. I think the New Orleans Saints take care of business on the last drive of the game, and they win 31-28.
Okay, 31-28. All right, well, listen. Check us out, you know, our picks and over the weekend and all that. But listen, we got to move on. And everybody just, man, here it is. Top five Fridays, right? So we've had some great segments, but this one is going to be unique because it's really just very unique, funny names. And this is sort of birthed from just our friendship because Ray and I, if you've listened to our show, you know we've known each other since we were about 12 years old, and been sports fans since, you know, the womb. But for us, we sometimes call each other bizarre names. And it's sort of like an unwritten game. We never spoke about it or, like, decided to do it one day. It just sort of happened. And so, you know, it'd be like I'll call Ray up and be like, yo, what's up, Thurman Munson? You know, and he'll call me up and he'll be like, yo, you know, what's up, Ben Ogilvy? Oda B. McDowell. Or, you know, and it comes from just a place of comedy and humor and fun. But really, it's about who are the top five sports names and sports athletes' names of all time. So we have a diverse thing and we, you know, purposely pick different, you know, names, but we try to represent, you know, all sports and all names. I'm going to go with my number five and my honorable mention. So for me, you know, man, it was really hard. But at my honorable mention, I had to just, you know, throw in there. Mickey Rivers, center fielder for the New York Yankees. I even threw him in a rhyme, you know, incomplete. I'm quick like Mickey Rivers, you know what I'm saying?
Quick.
So Mickey Rivers was a great center fielder for the Yankees and just, you know, boom. So Mickey Rivers, and I don't care what anybody says, His mama named him Cassius. Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali, but Cassius Clay is a great name. So that's my two honorable mentions. You know, I mean, obviously you all know who Muhammad is, so, you know, we'll keep it moving. But number five, I've got Mia Hamm. Okay?
Shout out to my friend Mia from high school, because that's a great
Ham.
Name, right? But Mia Hamm, okay? And, you know, obviously women's soccer got us the gold medal. But just a great name and a great player, great talent, right? Mia Hamm is my number five, and you just got to love that name.
I love it. I love it. So my honorable mention real quick, two brothers from another mother, Pokey Reese and Pee-wee Reese. So both infielders. Pokey was a second baseman, largely with the Cincinnati Reds, and obviously
yeah.
Pee-wee Reese with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So that's my honorable
mention.
Two players separated by 50 years, both playing infield, Pee-wee and Pokey. Number five, so that's honorable mention. Number five, John Thompson Sr. and John Thompson Jr. had this knack for recruiting basketball players from Africa, and they came with a lot of game and some great names. So I have a three-way tie for number five with three Georgetown basketball players, Reuben Boumsheh, Yaya Ja, and Boubacar Al. Shout out to my man Quincy, originally from Missouri. We used to call each other, and he'd say, Boubacar, and I'm Al.
That's right, Boubacar Al. Yeah,
like,
we always
out.
Used to say that one, man, definitely.
So that's my number five, the three Georgetown players by way of Africa.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that, man. And, you know, this is just all for fun and stuff. For me, my number four, it just so happens he's an Olympian. I had to get somebody from track and field. But Usain in the membrane Bolt, okay?
Usain Bolt,
I mean, if you don't know, he's from Jamaica, the number one stunner in the 200 and in the 100. But the 200 is his race, right, you know? But he's probably the fastest man on earth. I mean, you know, listen, you could debate different things, but that name right there, man, that says it all. And remember the hype about him coming to the NFL and maybe being a tight end and stuff? I think it would have been great, you know, sort of like Ronaldo Nehemiah played from track and went to the Niners. But Usain Bolt, man, that's a great name and, you know, has won his golds and silvers and done work for Jamaica in the Olympics and shut out America and all that. And so shout out to him for the 100 and 200 and the speed.
All right.
That's my number four, Usain.
I'll go to my number four, and it's Peekaboo Street. He was a downhill skier, for those of you who don't remember.
Yeah.
That's just a great name. Peekaboo.
Yeah. Mama name of that.
Exactly. You're going down the hill talking about Peekaboo.
Peekaboo.
He zooms by, right by you. Yeah, so my number four is a great skier. Great U.S. Olympic skier, Peekaboo Street.
That's so funny, you know. And it's so funny because I, you know, with the skiing, I also love the Mayer brothers, Phil and Steve Mayer. Not great names, but definitely great Olympic skiers. All right, so moving on. It gets harder, right? Number three. I bounced around with this one. And I was trying to figure out which way I should go. I had to go to NBA. I had to go to Mookie Blaylock. Mookie Blaylock was my man. And, you know, shout out to Mookie Wilson. But I had to go with Mookie Blaylock for point guard for the Nets, the Hawks, obviously Oklahoma. In that great battle against Danny Manning, Mookie Blaylock was just Mookie, yo. He was just nice. So Mookie's my number three.
Okay, I can't be mad at Mookie. My number three is the consummate professional, Dick Butkus. So what that name conjures up all kinds
too
of
too much.
Images. Yeah, right? Too much. But for the Bears, he was
Dick
good. He was
Butkus. But kiss.
Dick Butkus. So if you had a linebacker and you named him Dick Butkus, you knew he had to be a pretty tough dude to walk around with that name. And he would still punch you in the mouth, and you wouldn't.
He was the main monster in the Monsters of the Midway for the Bears.
Oh,
man.
Sure. So that's my number three.
Well, all right, my number two. This is a special one to my heart because I just wanted to shout out to shout out real quick, Derek Chivas, because he would have been another one basketball player from the 80s, college Missouri, but who I tie him with. And Ray and I used to always mention the both of them together. My number two from Wyoming, played a little 3 and 4, is Fennis Denbo.
Wow.
That's my man. Fennis Denbo put Wyoming basketball on the map. Because of Fennis Denbo, I still have never been to the state of Wyoming, but I'm going, okay? Fennis Denbo has made me fall in love with Wyoming and
that
name.
Over.
And it's a shame because Fennis Denbo never really made it in the pros. You know, he was a tweener in a time where, right now it doesn't matter, right? They're eliminating positions all over in the NBA, tweeners or whatever, it doesn't matter. But Fennis Denbo was in that time where he really didn't have enough jumper to be a 3 and not enough size and bulk to be a 4. So that's my number two, Fennis Denbo.
Boy, Fennis Denbo. Wow, I remember that, those days in the 80s. Derek Chivas with the Band-Aids and Fennis Denbo.
Yeah, the Band-Aids.
Oh, nice. So my number two is a man by the name of Lloyd Bernard Free. You might know him better as World B. Free, from Canarsie, Brooklyn. Played a lot of his career with the Sixers and the Cavs in the NBA. Changed his name legally in 81. So a lot like Marvelous Marvin Hagler. That's his legal name. Don't call me Lloyd. World B. Free. My number two, and if you're a shooter and you've got the name of World Be Free, what else is there to say? I mean, you're the man.
You're the man, definitely. All right, running out. So number one, for me, it's close to my heart because it's my favorite team in baseball, but it's because of just who he was. He was a shortstop. He hit one of the greatest home runs ever to get the Yankees into the playoffs. I'm talking about Bucky Dent, okay?
Bucky.
And Red Sox fans know him as Bucky Bum-Bum-Bum Dent, right? Mother effing or effing Dent. Bucky Dent, what a name, a clutch player for the Yankees. You know, broke his bat and then hits the home run over the Green Monster and just, on game 163 puts us in the playoffs. What is it, 78, so we could go on and then win the series.
78 in the one-game playoff, yeah.
And it was just incredible. So my number one is Bucky Dent.
Okay, my number one, back to basketball, is the number one name of all time. I think you can't even compete with this cat. God Sham God.
Yeah.
And actually had a game, too. He left after his sophomore year in Providence. He played 1 year with the Washington, at the time, the Washington Wizards. We remember them, of course, as the Bullets back in the days. Played a little bit in China. Now he's back in Portland in the IBL, but what a name. God.
And a street ball legend, man.
Street ball legend, exactly. With the
definitely
gear.
God Sham God is the
Shout
man.
Shout out to God Sham God and anybody with a great name. And, we do it for fun. We're not saying anything more than these guys put a smile on our face, guys
definitely.
And gals.
So real quick, right, we're running low on time. It's 2-0. San Francisco Giants have just put it on the Tigers. It's been pitching. It's been offense. They've won both styles. And now we go back to Detroit Saturday, Sunday, and possibly Monday. What do you think, Ray? Can the Tigers come back and salvage the series as we both picked them to do?
Yeah, I picked them to win the series. I don't know. I think maybe they take 2 out of 3 at home and then lose a decisive, or for them, not a decisive, they lose a game 6, maybe in San Francisco, and Detroit loses the series 4-2. I had originally predicted Detroit to win, but I don't think they can do it.
Yeah, I had Detroit too, and I think the way it's looking, I got faith that they'll still bring it back, but I think maybe I had Detroit in 6, and maybe it's going to be the Giants in 6. So, hey, we'll see.
Thanks for listening.
Yep.
We got our NBA
Check out
preview
over the weekend.
On Monday.
Some good games. Yeah, Monday's our NBA preview, one from 7 to 8:30. We're going to have Anthony Donahue from the Knicks, blogtalkradio.com. And so check us out, and we're going to, break down all the NBA picks, and we'll give you our MVPs, Rookie of the Years. all that stuff. So have a good weekend. Let's go Steelers.
Ray and Tay, you're out.
Thanks for talking sports with friends, man. We always enjoy having people on. Ray and Tay. Peace.
Hey, yo. It's E-Complete. I'm back up in this PC. My second album, Truth Speaker. And this track right here is crazy. I'm back.
Truth be told, I took control. Cause I knew Santa Claus couldn't save my soul. If you had the cars that I had to hold since I was 9 years old, trust me when I tell you, the next year is full. More than just bold, bullets over Broadway. It went down the Harlem Broadway. Pops were shot. Moms was too. Dad is dead and moms was shot in the head.
What?
And now she's home just lounging, just chilling in the bed. Truth is I spit nice and most of y'all can talk in my head. Shoot at y'all and I spray all day. I give two F's about to say about May.
What?
I'm just here to bring that crazy poetry.
Yes,
sometimes I got that speak truth attitude. Don't you understand that I'm a little bit rude?
What?
Lyrically shrewd, switch up my mood. I used to be the type to steal your honey type of dude.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm working on my bad attitude.